Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, thank you. Thank you for being good to us and kind and loving. And thank you that we could come together right now and read your word. God, I pray that through your word that you would speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to continue with a series that we started in 1 John. So go ahead and flip to 1 John if you have a Bible handy. What, 3-4 weeks ago, we did 1 John chapter 1. We started it out, and then I absentmindedly remembered that we hadn't finished the previous series. So we jumped back to that. And now, full disclosure, we're going to go back to 1 John, but once we get our contract signed with the city and all the ducks are in a row, I think we're almost done, almost signed. So once that's done and we start meeting together downtown, we're going to jump out of 1 John again and jump back into something else, and then we'll come back. Sooner or later, Lord willing, we will finish 1 John. So today, we're in 1 John, and who knows for how long, but then we'll come back. So let's start with 1 John chapter 1. I want to start with it's a glorious passage, the chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That is beautiful. In Christ, we can have life. We can have eternal life. We can have true life because of what he did on the cross. He reconciles us to the Father. He erases our rebellion. He covers us with his perfection. He fills us with his Spirit. We can have true life in Christ. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And then continue reading in verse 4. That gives us joy, can give us, should give us joy. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Joy in Christ. Because of the life that we have in Jesus, we should have joy. Because we're his children, because we're God's children, we should be full of joy. We should have full joy. He said our joy should be complete. He's including himself in that. All of our joy should be complete. He says, that's why I'm writing this. I want our joy to be complete. And if he says our joy could be complete, that would lead us to a question. When logically, how do I get in on complete joy? How do I find complete joy? Because if we were honest, I don't think any of us would be brash enough to raise our hands and say, I'm right now experiencing complete, full, absolutely no caveats joy. I'm 100% joyful, and not right in this moment, but all the time. Yesterday, I was completely full of joy, and the day before that, and the day before that, and in fact, I can't remember the last time I wasn't full of joy. We can't say that, can we? Not honestly. That's not our reality. So we raise our hands and say, how do I obtain that? How does that become real for me? John says, we're writing these things so that our joy may be complete. We can have complete joy. How do I get in on that joy? How does my joy become complete? Because even the fact that he writes that, he's saying, our joy isn't complete. Together, my joy and your joy is not complete. So that's why I'm writing this. I want it to be complete. I want it to be more than what it is because it can be. And that, by a little leap of logic, might take us to another question. And the other question would be, how can I even be sure? How can I even be sure that I have this life that is in Christ? How can I know that? How can I know that I am in Christ and that I'm going to be with the Father? We would like to be sure of that, wouldn't we? We would like to know without any shadow of a doubt that our relationship with God is secure, safe and secure from all alarms, that God loves me, that I'm saved. We want to know that, not a maybe, I hope so. We'll see. We don't want that. We want to know for sure that we are saved or we're God's children and he loves us and he's happy with us and we will be with him for all of eternity. We want to know that. But our problem is we're not sure, not all the time. We sing safe and secure from all alarms, but But in the back of our minds, I don't feel secure always. You know why? I look at who I am. I look at what I do and what I think and what I say and my failing. We see our failings. We see them better than anyone else. We see our failings and we say, could God love me? Does he really love me? I mean, the way I am now, not the way I'm going to be later once I repent and change. But right now, is it really possible that he loves me? In fact, some days we have to ask ourselves, am I even saved? Am I a Christian? Because I don't feel like a Christian today. Was I ever even saved? When I came out of the water, was I a different person? Or is this whole thing just been a little mental farce that I've been living in? And then other people question our faith. Other people look at us and point the finger and say, so you're a Christian. Really? That's how Christians act. That little explosion you just had, that little thing you just did, the thing that you said, that's the way Christians are, huh? And that makes us question our faith. And then the enemy, referred to sometimes in the Bible as the accuser of the brethren, the accuser, the one who, he's always there ready to put thoughts in our heads and fill us with condemnation and with doubt and make us not feel secure. Have you felt that insecurity in your faith? In your faith? Have there been times in your life when you've said, wait, how sure am I that I'm God's child? How sure am I that he loves me? Me, the person that I am today. How sure am I? I'm a Christian, but I don't know if God's happy with me. Have you felt that insecurity as you've gone through your Christian life? Many times we feel insecure, as if we were barely Christians. I am a Christian, but just kind of barely. As if I just behaved better, I would be more secure. And you know what? It's kind of ironic because that, not feeling secure, not feeling sure of who we are in Christ and our salvation and God's love for us, that just strips away our confidence as Christians, our confidence as people. It makes us, ironically, it makes us not live confidently as children of God, because when we look in the mirror and we see our faults and our failures, we say, I'm not sure if he loves me. I'm not sure if I'm lovable. I'm not sure if I am God's dearly beloved child. I'm not sure. I hope I'm saved, but I would never say 100% sure. That actually, because of how I am, that actually makes me live less and less like the person I should be, like the person that I should be, because our obedience is affected by our security and our confidence that we have in Christ, or the lack of confidence. Because when we don't feel like we're dearly beloved and forgiven children, we tend to not live as if we were dearly beloved and forgiven children. We live with fear. We easily listen to the voice of the accuser as he tells us that we're not, there's no way that I could be God's dearly beloved child the way that I am today. And he fills us with the temptation to look for our happiness and our security outside of God by disobeying God. But when we open up the book of John, we find that there is actually, there's hope. We can be secure. We can be sure. We can know. The first John in chapter 1, verse 4, and then we're going to look at another verse in first John. And when we put the two together, we can see we can be sure, we can be full of joy, and we can be full of certainty that we are God's children and that he loves us. And that right now the Father, if he were to say something, he would say the same thing he said to his other son who was in the river being, he came up for me and baptized as my son who I love, him I am well pleased. Look at 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 again. See, John tells us in two different places in this small book why he's writing the book. Wouldn't that be helpful if all the books in the Bible did that? If every time Paul wrote a book, if he said, listen, here is why I'm going to write this. And then at the end, if he said, oh, by the way, everything I just wrote, this is why I wrote it. That would give us such a good lens to see through as we read the book, wouldn't it? Because someone could read the book and say, okay, this is what he's trying to do and get across and work in our hearts. So let's read it with that lens. John actually does that in this book. It's so helpful. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. big idea for us. We can have abundant joy in Christ. That's what John is saying. That's why he's writing these things. The reason he's writing these things is so we can be full of joy. We can be full of joy because of that we're close to the Father, because we're God's children. We can be full of joy because of that, and not just joy. Now jump to the end of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. There's security as well. Joy and security. We're going to see they go together. 1 John 5, 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. So just stop there. He's talking to Christians. He's not talking to everybody in general. He's not saying y'all. He's not saying everybody. He's saying you who are Christians, if you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, if you're a child of God, if you've repented and been baptized, that's in the context of what he's saying. If you're a Christian, I'm going to tell you something. I'm writing this to you who are Christians because I want you to be able to have something. And what is that? That you may know. No, that's with certainty. I know that you have eternal life so that you can know. That's why I'm writing these things to be full of joy and so that you can know. We can know. He wouldn't have written this. He wouldn't have said, I'm writing these things so that you may know, if it wasn't possible for us to know, if it wasn't possible for us to have this security, this confidence, so that we can be secure, we can be completely confident, absolute security. That's the big idea for us. We can have complete joy, and absolute security, rock solid security in Christ. That's why John wrote this. He wants us to have complete joy and rock solid security of our salvation and our relationship with God and how the Father looks at us. And you say, why joy and security? Why just pull those two things out of the air? Well, they're related, aren't they? If you have security, having security, being sure, knowing things are good, that opens the door for joy. And when we're joyful, when we have joy in us, well, we're full of peace. And that leads us to security. They lead to each other. They're interdependent. If you don't have joy, how secure do you feel? And if you don't feel secure, you're not very happy. At least I'm not. So you see, these are two huge things that we want, that we look for in our relationship with God. I come to God because I want to be happy. I want him to make me happy for all of eternity. I want him to make me happy now. And I want to know. I don't come to God because I hope. I don't come to God and it's, well, I'm going to have to keep my fingers crossed and who knows, someday I'll find out and then it'll be too late when I finally know. No, we come to God because we want to know. It's not a roll of a dice. We don't get in the water because, well, let's cover this base just in case. We come to Christ and we are converted because we want to know that we are his children, that our eternity is safe. So you remember our first two questions at the beginning that I raised up? If he says, I'm writing this so you can have complete joy and absolute security, how can I be happy, completely, fully joyful? And how can I be completely secure, sure that I am God's child? And we're going to see in this book as we go through it that the answer to both questions is the same. It's the same answer. John is going to tell us how to experience the abundant joy that we have in our lives in Christ and how to be absolutely confident and sure that we have that life in Christ. And if you say, I don't have either of those right now, I don't have abundant joy, kind of happy sometimes. I don't have abundant joy. And I definitely don't have that security that I know that I'm God's child. And right now, he's happy with me. And that if I were to drop dead in this moment, I would be with him for all of eternity. I don't feel that. If you can say those two things, then John wrote this book for you and I. He wrote this for us. He wrote this so that we could experience more joy in our walk with God and maximum security. So what we're going to see as we go through 1 John, not today, that would be way too long. We'll see as we go through 1 John is a list of different attributes, different characteristics, different ways, manners in which we are to live, ways that we're to fight against the evil that is within us and outside of us that attacks us, ways that we are to relate to God and experience and live in our relationship with God. We're going to see a list of things. He's going to go down, and the book is very well... what he said, chopped up, that's the wrong word, divided out. He talks about one thing and then he goes to another thing. It's not just a big run-on sentence. It's a well-compartmentalized book. And what we'll see in all of those things is that he's writing every single one so that we get, as we look at them, we are able to have more joy, and we can look at them as we read them and become more and more secure in our salvation so that we can live in the true life that is in Jesus. So there's another question as we start reading these that should be at the front of our minds. It might not be, but I'm going to put it there. The question is, so are these things that John wrote in the rest of the book, everything that comes between chapter 1, verse 4 and chapter 5, verse 13, is everything between that, are they affirmations or the exhortations? Are they affirmations or the exhortations? Are they instructional or are they affirmational or confirmational? Okay. Oops, I flipped my page wrong. That's bad. You don't want me to start over, do you? Are they things that he says because, as we can look at them, that because we have security, are they affirmation? Are they things that we can read and say, I feel secure in my faith? Or are they the instructional things that we read and we say, and he's saying to us, do that. And so I say, okay, I'll do that more and I'll be more secure in my faith. Which is it? Are they things, as we read 1 John, are we going to see things that we are able, we'll be able to see if we're Christians in our lives and then find security and joy because we see them in us already? Or are they things that we should have in our lives, that we should have, and as we get more and more of them, we will have more and more joy and security? You see the question, are they things that the children of God should have within them? And if you see this in you, then you can be sure that you're a child of God. Or are they things that the children of God should have as part of their lives? And so we should try to have more and more of them so that we have more and more security in our relationship with God. Which is it? Is it instructional or is it affirmational? Is he saying, look at this. If you're a Christian, this is you. Can you see that? Hold up this mirror and that's you, right? Okay, so you can be sure, you can know that you have life in Christ. Or are there things that he's going to hold up and say, yeah, if this was a mirror, you wouldn't see yourself here because you're not like this. So become more like this and then you'll know more that you're a Christian. Which is it? It's both. Everything that John writes is instructional and affirmational. He says, I'm writing these things so that you can know, but the way that he writes the things is very instructional. He's saying, and we'll see, he's saying, do this. This is what Christians do, so do this. Be like this. The closer that you walk with God, the closer we walk with God, the more that we live in the way that he describes, the more joy and peace we will have. And at the same time, so we can grow in joy and peace and security by growing in the things that John's going to describe, but we can also see them in us, even in small little seedling form, and say, oh, there's life in me. It's like the plants that my wife has in the backyard that in these, and there was a long time there was one pot that wasn't growing, there's just dirt, and you didn't see anything. And then all of a sudden, these little green things, and maybe, I don't know, does this make me boring? My kids would probably say, so I don't know. Does it make me old and boring? I don't know what it is, but we would go out and drink coffee on the patio. Okay, yeah, I'm hearing it. We would go out and drink coffee on the patio in the afternoons, and I would look at the pot and look at the dirt and nothing there, and be like, ah, nothing there, yeah. And then one day, there were these little green things, kind of. I was like, ooh, are those little green moldy rocks? Or I think those are little leaves that are going to, they started popping. There were signs of life. As we read 1 John, we're going to see things, and he's telling us, I'm telling you these things so you can know you're a Christian. Okay, so as I see little signs of these things in me, I can know this is the way Christians live, and I know that I gave myself to Jesus, and I'm seeing signs of life in me, little leaves popping up, the little things that he's talking about in this book, I see that in me. I know there's life in me. But that plant is not where it should be. It needs to grow. It needs to be watered and fertilized. And it needs to sprout up and become much more than it is right now. So they are also things that we need to pursue. And so as we read, it'll be kind of a double-edged sword of, do you see that in yourself? If you're a Christian, you should. You should see that. And if you see that, even in little tiny seedling form, man, That should give you great confidence in your faith and your relationship with God, because that's the work of the Spirit in you. That's God working in you, because if you're not a Christian, you don't have that. And at the same time, that little plant is not nearly what it should be. So we should make that grow, because that's what God's children do. They're like that. They do this thing. They become more like this. And so let's make it grow. But do you see it? That gives you security. That gives you confidence and also motivation to let's become more and more like that. And none of that was scripted. So I'm just going to jump over all the scripted stuff. Let's read John chapter 5, verse 13 again. Because for today, it's enough for us to know. We're not going to look at what the things are, but it's just enough for us to know that in Christ, we can have complete joy and we can have absolute security. And that, especially that last one, that should be, I think that's a new idea for many of us. For me, it's a new idea. It's like I should be able to be absolutely sure. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know, that you may know. So what should we do? What should our application from this be? Well, if you haven't made your own decision to give yourself to Jesus, to repent and be baptized, you should do that. Because when you do that, you are entering into a life of joy and security, eternal security. You can become God's dearly beloved child. You can have complete security and surety that He's your Father. He loves you, and He will love you for all of eternity. So give yourself to Jesus today, if that's you. If you've never made that decision, give yourself to Him. Decide to follow Him. Repent. Be baptized, accept Him as your Savior and Lord. Enter into this life of joy and security. And if you say, that's me, and that's today is the day, and I have to do that, tell someone here. You can repent and be baptized. Now, if you've already repented and been baptized and given yourself to Jesus, what should you and I do? We should read 1 John 5:13. We should memorize that verse. That is a wonderful fighter verse to memorize, because it tells us we can know. We can know. And so for you and I, the application for you and I today, if we're Christians, is to accept that reality, to believe the reality that I can be completely sure. It is absolute false Christian humility to say, are you a Christian? Are you sure you're a Christian? Are you sure you're going to heaven? And say, well, I don't know. I hope so. That's not true Christian humility. Humility is saying what Paul John says, I know, not because of what I've done, because of what He's done. I know. And for you and I, the application from this verse is to accept that it is possible for me to be 100% sure of my salvation, that I'm God's child and He's my Father and He loves me and heaven awaits me. And then decide, we should make a decision. You and I should make a decision as we meditate on this verse, as we memorize it and think about it. We should make a decision, and it may not drop right today. It may not drop tomorrow, but sometime this week, we should get to a point where we say, I want to live in that kind of, I'm thinking surety and security. You got to pick one. I want to live in that kind of surety. I want to know that God is I want that. I want to be that secure and that confident in my relationship with God. I'm going to go after that. And then as we read 1 John together, and maybe read 1 John on your own and start going after that and say, I want to know that I have eternal life. Read it and go after that. And as we read it together, go after that and know that God intends for His children to know that they have eternal life. And isn't that one of the reasons why every week we eat bread and drink juice together? And we remember Jesus' death, we participate in the Lord's Supper, because we're to know this is not a maybe, I hope kind of thing. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he gave His life so that you and I could have eternal security, so that we could know I'm God's child and He loves me. He suffered immensely so that we could have complete joy. By His wounds, we are healed, and nothing can separate us from the hand of God, from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So that's why we remember. That's why we, as we take the bread, we remember his body being broken. And we drink the juice, we remember his blood flowing and dripping to the ground. We remember and we thank him in our hearts. And as we pray together, we thank him and we worship him. We lift our voice together. And then as we go through our day, we remember that again. Lift our voice and we sing and we say, thank you. Dear God, we come and we thank you because you are good, you are kind, and you're loving. Thank you, God, that you've given your son, and he lost all sense of security. He was untethered from his rights and his privileges and his throne. And he lived in a precarious situation his whole life on earth, and he ended that life with a cruel, cruel death. He did it so that we could be sure, so we could know that we're your children. Know that when you look at us, if we are in Christ, you say, that is my son, that is my daughter, I love, I'm well pleased. So we thank you, God. Together we worship you. As we take the bread and drink the cup, help us to only think about Jesus and what he did. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's take communion together.